2 Kings chapter number 4 this morning. We'll take our message from a story that some of you may be familiar with, some of you may not. This morning I've just titled this, The Example of the Shunammite Woman. The Example of the Shunammite Woman. This particular chapter here in 2 Kings chapter number 4, we find the prophet Elisha, who took the mantle of Elijah. And we know, looking in Scripture, a lot of know that Elisha does about twice as many miracles as did Elijah. And so we see just in this one chapter, if you get a chance to read the rest of this chapter, I'm not going to read it all this morning for sake of time, but in this one chapter, we have no less than 5 miracles in this one chapter this morning. We see the woman, the first one is a widowed woman that he takes care of. She's needing money, and he tells her to borrow not a few vessels, as many vessels as she can get. And the oil just keeps going and going, and I've heard messages preached out of that, but I'm not preaching it this morning. The second one here, we're going to look at the Shunammite woman, and 2 of the miracles are for her. The fourth miracle toward the end of this chapter is some men that gathered the wrong kind of wild goers, and they was facing certain death, and that became the fourth miracle. And then the fifth one at the end of the chapter, he kind of performs a miracle that Jesus performs. He feeds 100. Just shows you though, what man did, what God allowed man to do, God does it even more. God allowed Elisha to feed, I think it's 100 men. Let me make sure we're saying it right. 100 men with a few loaves of bread. 20 loaves of barley bread. 20 small loaves of barley. And so he feeds 100 men. I don't know about y'all, but 100 men that back then that were working, 20 loaves ain't going to feed them. And so it's also a miracle there. So 5. And so, but we're going to look at the Shunammite woman this morning. Acts. 2 Kings 4. We're going to start verse number 8. For the sake of time this morning. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunammah, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she called him by the feet. Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Father, Lord, what a tremendous example this woman makes, God. I'm not a great Bible scholar, Lord. I know the Word of God. And maybe it is somewhere else, Lord, but we don't even know her name right here. We know her as a Shunammite woman. That God, she cared for the things of God. And Lord, she became an example for us to look at, Lord, for a mother. And Lord, as we're celebrating Mother's Day today, I pray that you would help me, God, to use this example. God, that we as a church, God, as individuals, whether we're mothers, fathers, children, Lord, we be the example that others could see and follow for the cause of Christ. Help me now, I pray, to preach this morning. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we know I said that the end of this chapter, now we see that He performs one of the miracles that Jesus performs with the bread, though Jesus does it far above what even Elisha does. He also right here does another miracle that Jesus performs, which is to bring back a child from the dead. We know that Jesus brought back several, but on one occasion there's probably maybe even about the same age. We just know he's a little lad. There's a little girl in the New Testament about 12 years old that Jesus raised from the dead. And so we have this example. We also see here that we also have an example of him, this man of God, giving this woman and her husband a child, which is also an example of, like, Abraham and Sarah. I'm not going to remember his name, but Hannah, the book of Samuel. Samuel's the same way. Rachel, though this woman is not like Rachel or Hannah, she's not even asking God for a child. And so I thought, man, yeah, she makes an even better example, that she's just serving God, and God gives her this blessing. So we're looking at the example of the Shunammite this morning. Number one, the first thing I'll look at is the care for the things of God. You know, she put God first in her life here. It says in verse number 10, let us. She's the one doing the talking to her husband, but she asks his permission to do the things that she's about to do. She doesn't go above and beyond what her husband is wanting. Why is that? Because the Bible says that a wife is to submit to her husband in everything. I know that it's not popular preaching, and a lot of people, even in Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches, don't like that, but it's still Bible in 2021 that a wife is supposed to submit to her husband in everything. A husband is not a dictator. He's not to rule over her with an iron fist in any way like that, but he's still to get that decision in. Sometimes women let their emotions get the best of them. And one example, and not to get deep into it this morning, but one example of the way that women are emotionally wired is that look at every 4 years when election comes up. What do they always pray on? Women's emotions. Oh, it's your body, women. They're trying to attack your body. They're trying to do this. You know, every 4 years, that's what it is. And then the 4 years after it ends, what do we ain't heard nothing else about it. This stupidity of our day and time. Forgive me for that word, Lord. I shouldn't, but the level of non-thought in our day and time of, oh, men and women are equal. Men and women are not equal. We are equal in the standing of God. We should be equal in the standing of government as far as we shouldn't be treated differently as far as both the man and woman should be considered unfortunately in child custody and all those types of things. But men and women are not equal. Men are usually logical thinkers. Women are more emotional thinkers. And so we are different, wired different. Men are or stronger than women. We are different in so many different areas. That does not make a woman a less of a human or less than anybody else. The Bible does say she is the weaker vessel. But anyway, this woman is the one in her home. A lot of women. There are good godly women that are in a place of submission to their husband, as this woman. She's the example here. She's the one with the faith. She's the one that says, you know what? I believe this is a man of God. I think, well, I'll take care of it. You know, sometimes us men, we got to remember that God gives our wives intuition to know some things. Same thing the other way, women, that sometimes God gives the husband some intuition to know some things. We was talking about recently somebody that we know, but I've got a book back here in my study on biblical principles of parenting, and the man that wrote it said that he knows several men that their daughters went through their wives to push them into giving the okay for them to marry some man. And then it turned out that the intuition that man had was right, may it not been, but a couple years down the road, come find out he was an ungodly man, didn't treat her right, wasn't living right, wasn't saved, whatever it was. And the writer is talking about that, you know, that's where we're to work together, husbands and wife. If one of them doesn't feel comfortable with something like that, we shouldn't just dismiss it and move on. You know, sometimes we as men will just say, you know what, well, this is the way it's got to be, and without considering some things. But this woman, she, as her example, she had care for the things of God. She said, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn him hither. She cared for the things of God. You know what? She could have been like a lot of women and a lot of people, not just women, but men too. She could have said, you know what? Let's spend this money on ourselves. You know, I need a new chariot. Or I may need some new clothes. I need some new things. Or the husband could have said, you know what? Honey, I need some new oxen to plow the field. He's well off. He's living in town and he's got a farm out that they end up plowing. Not only that, but they got some property on the city wall too. So, I mean, they must be some pretty well off, because when Elisha said, you only made mention of you to the king, she says, I'm among my own people. She must have had pretty good standing already. And so she didn't care for those things. She cared for the things of God. Now, I'm not saying that you got to be dirt poor and give everything to God. There, you know, we've heard the story. The things say, God, you keep him humble and we'll keep him broke. That's the running joke among Independent Baptists, unfortunately, for preachers and missionaries, is God, you keep him humble, we'll keep him broke. No, there ain't nothing wrong with taking care of a man of God that's preaching the Word of God, that's taking care of your spiritual needs, and it's not afraid to tell you the truth. And so many other people would have been spending their money on everything else. We spend so much time and so much money on so much other stuff, we neglect the things of God. But here we have a godly woman that we don't even know her name, but she puts the things of God first. And she says, you know what? I want to take care of this man of God. You should. I told you, we've got Brother Tim here. We've got Brother Tim coming in. And then we've got Brother Randy Coon, that's coming in just on a Tuesday night. But listen, invite them out. Take care of them. Take them out. Fix them a meal. You don't even have to go and spend the money for a meal. I know it's expensive going out to eat. Fix them a meal. Add a little something extra. This couple probably didn't have to spend too much money on adding a third meal. Most of us know sometimes it's harder fixing a meal for two people than it is for four people. Why? Because the way proportions and things are packaged and stuff, then it's easier a lot of times for that. But she said it fell on verse 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed. And so she's seeing him go back and forth. And she says, you know what, honey? She said, that's a man of God. I don't know what it is, but something's telling me that's a man of God. And I think I'm going to have him over supper. I think I'll do something for him. The husband goes, oh, no. But woman, don't you spend my... No, the man says, you know what? That's a pretty good idea. He says, yeah, let's go on and have him over. She said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that he's a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. So they saw him all the time. Bible says that he that, to count him worthy of double honor. The Bible says, the man of God that get up and preach to you the truth, you ought to be thankful somebody get up and preach it to you. Some of you in here, you ought to be thankful because you've sat under people that didn't tell you the truth. You've heard other people teach, and you've heard other people supposedly preach, and then what did you do? You sat there lost underneath of them on the road to hell. I was thinking about that while I was reading through this, the care for the things of God. This woman falls at his feet at least two different times. His servant or his assistant says, don't do that, you know. And you can look at it there. Gehazi says, kind of thrust her up, trying to take her up. You know, like Simon, Peter and all them, don't bow down before us. We're just men like you. But this woman's soul was so vexed. But I come to mind when I was thinking about this and looking and studying. I was thinking about there in Romans chapter number 10. What does the Bible say? How beautiful the feet of them that bear
the tidings.
That's what I thought of when I thought of this woman. I don't want you to bow down at my feet. And I don't think of my feet as being beautiful. But what he's saying here is, man, how beautiful it is to thank God that somebody came to me, somebody came to where I was and preached the gospel to us. And that's what this woman's got right here. She's a Shunammite. And here she is just caring for the things of God. So much other things that they could have spent money on. But she said, you know what? I want to take care of God's man. I want to take care of God's man. You should want to, man. Thank goodness. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But thank goodness for those that are caring for the things of God. That have helped us get these pews done. That helped get the carpet, the walls done. Hopefully, Lord willing, hopefully soon, be able to get the sign done. The backs on the pews put in. And so much more. And thinking about this morning, man, I'm telling you what. I'm just praying God will do something in somebody's heart. Or bring it in at the right time. Maybe we'll be able to add us a nice fellowship hall. Or build a bigger sanctuary. I don't know what God will do. But as we sat there this morning, poor Brother Barry of our Tripping Breakers. No, he Trip Breaker. He Tripped Thing. Having to go somewhere else. I said, man, we need some receptacles in that kitchen. And I'm thinking, what do we want to do? Do we want to remodel this kitchen? Do we want to go and put money into this? Or sure, it would be nice if we start praying. We start praying if we want to do so. I'd like for a nice big fellowship hall right out here off the side with a prophet's chamber in it for us to be able to take care of those that want to travel, like this brother that's coming in that we're talking about coming in August, having him already a place where they can come here to the church. He'd be right by the church to come and pray. And it's nice to have that prophet's chamber, 2 or 3 bedrooms in there for them and the kids, whatever it may be, somewhere where they go. Hey, but it does take money to do those things. It takes money to do those things. Who knows? Man, there may be somebody in town that God wants us to win to the Lord that give enough money to do the whole thing. We just got to win them to the Lord. We got to care for the things of God. That was her number one thing. She cared for the things of God. Number two, she did have a craving to be a mother. Ain't it funny? Maybe there's some of you in here. I know my wife's one of them. Or kind of what, y'all, one of them. Maybe some of the other ladies that way. Was there any other you ladies that always said, I'm never having kids till you got married? Must be this generation then, because I know a lot of young ladies that most of them said, I never wanted children till I got married. Ain't that good? That's the way it should be too. You shouldn't be having desire. You shouldn't be thinking about that. You should be thinking about what God would have you to do as this woman. You ought to be caring for the things of God. Then when you get married at the right time, God will put it in your heart. She had a craving. Most every woman does. When they get married, I don't know. There's not many of them. I know some of them they told they probably never have kids. We know somebody now that have been told they never have kids. Guess what? Doctors don't know everything.
That's right.
Ain't it amazing that we know the one that created the womb? Just as this woman. Hey, I don't know how old she was, but I guess the Bible's real sense about that. It just described her husband as old, brother. It just described the husband as old. I don't know. Maybe she was a little bit younger. I mean, you know, Sarah was a little bit younger than Abraham, but not that much younger. I think it was about 10 years younger. Describes him as old, him as an old man, or he says her husband had, verily she had no child, and her husband is old. But she had a craving, even though she did, you know what? She had accepted the fact. She said, you know what? I've cared for the things of God. If this is what God wants me to do in life, if this is what God wants me to serve Him, if God doesn't want me to have any children, then so be it. I'll serve Him. I'll leave what I can to the things of God. Give what I can to the things of God. That's even though she had that craving to be a mother, like most women, she had settled and said, you know what? I can deal with this, God, if that's what you want. Maybe I need to come to that realization too. I mean, 4 girls. God's just not going to give me a son at this point. But listen, I'm thankful for my girls. Man, I just pray. I'm like, Lord, wherever it is, you want to use them. I know that some of them may not understand this,
But I'm telling you what, I would rather know my children are saved and serving God in India or in China or anywhere else but here, knowing that they're saved, serving God, than to be on this church pew in front of me lost and on the road to hell.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I tell them, like, you pray? Are you praying? Do you know what God? We was there and we was at church. I think, I think it was Thursday morning. Maybe Thursday morning. The man of God preached on, or maybe Thursday night, on the will of God for everybody. There is a will of God for each of us.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You may not be a preacher. You may not call to be a preacher, but there is a will of God. God wants all of us to be invited people. God wants all of us to be busy about the Father's business. He wants us to invite people. He wants us to give to the church. He wants us to participate in singing. You may not lead the singing, but He wants you to know how to sing and participate in it. He wants you to be. What can you say that you are doing the exact, perfect, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life right now? That's what this woman was doing. That's what this woman was doing. She's doing exactly what she felt like God had laid on her heart. And what is it doing? God answers a prayer that she probably may not prayed in years. She said, He said unto her, call her. And when He had called her, she stood in the door. And He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace the Son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. She had come to that realization. She'd come to that point where she accepted what God had given her in life, that her and her husband were happy. They're serving God together. Then so be it. If God's not going to give us children, that's okay. We'll be sold out to God. I've said it before. There are people the Bible talks about in the New, even in the New Testament. There are people, if it's a choice of a lifestyle, it's different. Okay, let me make sure I make this clear. Sometimes I want to make sure this is clear. The Bible says it is a doctrine of the devil, and it seduces in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are some of them? Some of them are to abstain from meats and to abstain from meats and forbidding to marry. So Paul said that's a doctrine of the devil. If I get up there and preach to you that it ain't right or preachers aren't supposed to, that's a doctrine of the devil. But it does say, Jesus Himself said, some are eunuchs for the ministry's sake. I believe myself, I've heard people say they believe Paul was married, his wife died. I don't believe Paul was ever married. If I'm wrong, God forgive me. But Paul, I don't believe Paul was ever married, because he says that he believed that if your spouse died, that you should be like him.
That's right.
Serving God. And there's nothing wrong with that. He says, if you cannot, it's better to marry than it is to burn.
Amen.
What is he talking about? He's talking about that burning. Can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? No. If a man can't control himself, then he needs to get married. If a woman can't control herself, then she needs to get married. If they can, he says it's better to serve the things of God. And so in the New Testament, it does talk about there are some that are eunuchs from the womb. That there are some people that it's not in them to get married, but to serve God. But we have one example. She wasn't a eunuch, but she got married. And y'all know I've told the story. They're in the early chapters of Luke chapter 2, with Simeon and, I want to say, Anna the priest. I may be wrong. But she the Bible says she married at a young age as a virgin. She was married so many years. But most of her life, her husband died when she was young, very young. And she had served God in the temple for all of those years. So that's different. That's different, okay? But there's some people, that's what they have. That's what some people are given that. But for those of us that want to, I just knew, even before I got saved, all I ever wanted to do was find my wife, settle down, get married, have kids. And that's what I didn't want to do the dating game. I didn't believe in the clubbing garbage that goes on. I didn't believe in all this other mess that goes on. I had, even though I was not raised
believing like what I believe now, I could bring every one of my ex-girlfriends and my wife up here and testify. I didn't kiss my wife or the girls that I dated for some of them for a couple months after we dated. I believed it meant something. I knew that it meant something. There were girls that we dated that I never kissed because I knew that it meant something. Now, I hold a lot stronger standard now and believe that you ought to wait till you get married. But I'm telling you, if people would get back to Bible standards the way God intended, well, you fix a lot of this mess in this country. But that's extra. Anyway, she had a craving for being mother, though she had accepted at this point, you know what, we're going to just serve God. Me and my husband are going to serve God together. We're going to go childless, whatever it is. So be it. If that's what God wants us to do, we'll serve God like this. And listen, I'm not saying settling in a bad way. It's not a bad thing. Some people are able, listen, Paul talks about, he said you're able, if a man or a woman stays unmarried, they're able to devote themselves more strongly, I'll paraphrase, to the things of God. They're able to do more to the things of God. Why? Because they don't have nothing against, I love my kids and I don't want nothing to happen to my wife or my kids. But, it is an extra thing. Why? Because we spend $800 a month on groceries. If there wasn't but the two of us, we could spend even more either going out or we could give more to the church or whatever it may be. You know, that type of thing. I'm just telling you an example. Okay, she had a craving for being a mother. There's something about getting married and something about in that relationship, the bounds of marriage, God puts in a woman and into a man to want to have children. There's people that I knew that said, I'm not having no more kids, or they had one kid, or they had no kids. They said, that's it, I'm not having any more. Guess what happens? We decided to have another kid. Why? I thought you said you wouldn't have it. Yeah, well, we decided we wanted more. Why? Because it's a natural thing that God puts inside. And so it was natural for this woman, her husband, she had to have that craving, to want to be a mother. And so what happens? We've met some that may not had physically had any children, but spiritually, they're just as much a mother as others. They watch out for kids. They're there for children a lot of times more than others. And so this example of her wanting to be a mother, she said, listen, don't deceive me. I'm sorry, it's the word I was looking for. Don't deceive me. Don't get my hopes up, you man of God. I've wanted this and I've accepted where God has put me now. She, well, like I said, I told you before, she wasn't like Rachel. What did Rachel tell Jacob? Rachel, give me kids or else I die. What did Hannah do? Hannah, we see her at the beginning of the first Samuel. She's just weeping on the altar there at the beginning of the first Samuel. And Eli comes to her, Eli's over there thinking she's drunk. Something wrong with her, she's drunk. This woman had accepted. That's why I believe she made such a good example. She makes a good example of a godly woman, a godly mother this morning. She cared for the things of God. She said, you know what? If God doesn't want me to have any more kids or have any kids at all, then that's so be it. Me and my husband will serve God. How are we going to serve God? We're going to take care of the man of God. We're going to take care of the things of God. We'll do what we can for God. But God gave her that. She had a craving to be a mother. And it says here, he said, call her. And he says, do not lie. She said, do not lie unto thy handmaid. The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And I put this down as I was talking about a minute ago. You know, he probably thinks himself in debt to her for what they've done for him. Think about that. That he thinks he's in debt to her because of how she's taken care of them. He thinks, man, she's taking care of me. She's giving me a room in their house, up on the wall. They're giving me a bed to sleep in. And he probably thinks he's in debt to her. And then the other way, she feels like I'm in debt to him. Man, he's a man of God. He's serving God. What can I do for him? She had no desire. The Bible says it there. She had no desire. Did I desire a child for you? Matter of fact, he said, do you want to be known of the king?
Do you want me to tell the king about who you are? Do you want to make you great? I think it's the previous chapter, I may be wrong, but the previous chapter or two, somewhere right before this chapter, they won a great victory because of Elisha. He says, you want to make you known to the king? She says, I'm among my own countrymen. It's not a thing that I'm concerned with. She just wanted to serve God. See, most people are looking at it for what can they get out of it. God, I'm going to, you know, and I understand the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. I understand the Bible says that, but I'm not looking for that. I mean, I know that there may be rewards waiting for me in heaven, but I feel like this woman, I owe God a great debt.
Yes.
That's why I preach like I do. That's why I preach as hard as I know it upsets some people and it scares some people. But I'm telling you, I feel like I owe a great debt. Though my debt has been paid, I feel like a man came all the way from Michigan to North Carolina to preach the gospel to me. Why can't I do the same for others? I feel like I owe that great debt as this woman felt like. We all owe a great debt to God and the one who told us the truth. As we look here again, it's kind of like here's what happens here now in verse number 19. He said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said unto the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. And he sat on his knees till noon and then died. I was looking at this and thinking about that, studying. Kind of like Abraham and Isaac. Another picture of Abraham and Isaac here. This woman has faith. Number three, she has a care for the things of God, a craving for being a mother. She should be commended for her great faith. What did Abraham tell Isaac? He said, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. What does this woman's great faith say? She didn't even tell her husband. She said, it shall be well. Her great faith in the time was just like with Abraham. No, God gave me this son. God promised, gave Isaac as the son of promise. God's, I don't know what he's going to do, but if I kill him, if that's what God wants, God's able to resurrect him from the grave. This woman apparently knew and thought the same thing. She pulls, what does she do? She doesn't prepare him for death, does she? She didn't wrap him in death garments. What does she do? She takes him up and lays him on the man of God's bed. She says, I know that God, my God, the God I serve, is able to deliver. She takes him up there. I was thinking about this. Oh, let me look at it. I'm going to show you this. If you get a turn to Hebrews chapter number 11 real quick. Hold your place here. We're going to come right back to here. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed it. This woman believed it. How do I know? Look on over now to verse number 35. What does it say in verse number 35? This same faith we're talking about. This is the heroes of faith chapter, right? That's what this is. What does it say, verse 35? Women received their dead raised to life again. Right there. Who's it talking about? Well, it's obviously, it's talking about this Shunammite woman. Here we are, all the way over in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. Her faith says in verse number 23, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Her husband, I tell you, women, this idea that men and women are the same. No, men and women are different. Sometimes the man has more faith. Sometimes the woman has more faith. And in this particular circumstance, this woman has one more faith. The husband says, what are you going to the man of God today for? It's not a new moon. It's the There's no service today. There's no church today. Honey, why do you want to go get the man of God today? She said, it shall be well. She didn't tell her husband. As far as we know, she didn't tell her husband. Don't you know that he probably, after she left, where's my son at? Where's my son? And went looking, found his body up there. I don't know, but I know one thing. She didn't tell him. She had more faith. She said, it shall be well. She should be commended. Her example of great faith, believing God, all the way over there in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 35, women had their dead raised to them again. Who's it talking about? Obviously, this is one of them. Women, plural. She ought to be commended for a great faith. How about it, ladies? We're here for Mother's Day. Is your faith strong enough? Have you had enough faith in God that your children, your husband, your grandchildren, whatever it may be, can see the faith that you have in God? This woman, once again, verse 22, she called unto her husband and said what? Send me. She asked permission once again. This idea that you just run the roads, you can go out and do whatever you want to. You know, that's how stuff like adultery, sin happens. People thought, I'm not checking in with my wife. I'm not asking her permission for nothing. Some woman, I ain't asking that old man for nothing. My wife knows where I'm at all the time. I know where my wife's at all the time. We're not checking in. We're not asking permission. We just believe it's respectful to one another to know where they're at.
Yes, that's right.
She says, send me, I pray thee, to the man of God. That's what she's asking. She said, I need your blessings, honey. I need your approval to know that I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the young ass, that I may run to the man of God and come again. He said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Her great faith. She's an example to us because of her great faith. How about it this morning, ladies? Mother's Day, the day that we celebrate mothers. Can your children see your faith in God? Do you pray with your children? Do you read the Bible with them? Do you pray with your grandkids? Do they see the kind of faith that this man saw in his own wife to say, if that's what you did, she didn't say. He said, wilt thou go to him today? He asked a question. He said, but he didn't say, don't go. No, don't worry about it, honey. It's going to be okay. He trusted his wife. She had faith enough. Then he said, there's a reason behind this. You can go. She ought to be commended for her faith. How about it? How about it this morning? Could you be known like the Shunammite woman? I forgot to mention this in verse 21. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door. How many of us would have quit on God at that point? I meant to get that before because it leads up to her great faith. How many of us, when some great trial comes into our life, when some great test comes into our life that challenges our faith and everything that we believe, how many of us would have said, you know what? This is it. I'm done. This is where I go. In the 20 years that I've been saved, my wife's been saved for 16 years, we've seen it already. In the 40 years, some years that Ms. Barnabas and Tim been saved, they've seen it. But not everybody's a quitter. I told you, Brother Don Jackson, all the way. At least we know he made it all the way. What better way? I love it, man. I loved hearing that story. I loved hearing when Brother Milford Bill went out at a meeting in Kentucky. When these men of God and these women of God that go out at a service, when they're at church, when they're going to a meeting, whatever it may be, and here they are dying in hotel rooms, Brother Milford Bill, I told you.
tell the story, was a man of God, I think out of Mississippi, if I remember correctly. He died at a deacon's home in Kentucky at a camp meeting. What better way to know that you went out faithful than being at a meeting serving God? I know that there's a lot of people. There's some of you in here could probably name some people that you've seen that may you believe were Christians, but they quit on God. We're not all quitters. Paul talks about one of his biggest fears was being, when he had preached to others, he himself would be a castaway. Well, my biggest fear is that there's so many people looking up to me. I fear God, number one. That's one thing. I don't think a lot of people have that fear of God like they should. That godly fear. I'm talking about Christians, not the world. I mean, the world needs a fear of God. But I tell you, that's why the world doesn't have a fear of God, because so-called Christians don't have a fear of God. If we as Christians would fear God like we should, we'd reverence Him, we'd respect Him, we'd be in His church when we're supposed to, we'd be giving like we're supposed to, we'd be witnessing people like we're supposed to. Do you realize that people right here in this small town have died and went to hell this year?
Yeah.
That we've been doing what we can to win people to the Lord. How many of us would have stopped right there in verse number 20 and 21 when He died? We'd have quit on God and said, you know what, God? I can't go on anymore. I told you about Brother Voles, the brother that's coming in. That's one of the things that really impressed me. This is a young man, and I think he told me he's 32 years old. His son was killed by a drunk driver just in the last few years. But he's still serving God.
Yes, sir.
Others probably would have quit. Said, I'm serving you, God, and this is what you allow to happen. I think he said his boy was 10 or would have been 10 this year. I can't remember. In July, that's why he didn't want to schedule the meeting there at July 4th. Because I think he said, if I remember, it's July 3rd. It's his birthday. Could you keep going if something happened to one of your kids? Or would you turn bitter on God? It's probably made him even more of a man of God, even more strengthened in God by the loss. How many people we talk about? It is well. Where we hear that a lot? We hear that song. We just sung the other day about the man that lost all of his kids in a shipwreck. Could you get you home if God put you through that kind of trial? I'm telling you, this woman, we really, when we see great faith in the Bible, we take it for granted. We think, well, she should just be happy that God did this. And, you know, she just, listen, how do you think she felt when she was going through this? Do you think that there was, listen, she didn't even tell her husband or their child died. She didn't tell anybody else. The Bible says while she went on her way and she ran into anybody, she said, it is well. When she got to the man of God's helper, assistant, servant, whatever term you want to use for him, he said, Elisha said, ask him, is your husband well? Is your child well? What is it? And she said, it is well. Why? Because she had great faith to know that God gave that child. Look at Job. If you've never read the book of Job, man, you ought to read it. The faith of Job. The patience of Job. Going through what he went through. People, listen, I'm telling you, I said it before. The reason that we don't have what these people had in the past, the reason that we don't have the faith, most of us aren't willing to allow God to work in our lives and put us through those trials and those tests, to put us through those challenges in our life so that we can see and build the kind of faith these people had. She should be commended for her great faith. She saddled her ass and she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. That's a man of God. That's a man of God that knows his people even from a distance. Knows his people even from a distance. There's some that I'm praying for, some that have been coming and visiting that need to be saved, that God's working on and hemming them up. I'm just telling you, listen, we need to, the more personal, we need different faith than other churches. We need to have a stronger faith than these other churches have. You know what's going to make the difference in people's lives? You know what's going to make the difference? If we as a church can be different than everybody else. If we're just like all these other churches, they're never going to see a difference. When people come in here, and by the way, most of that, I tell everybody yes, and so I want to say that way because I told you before, the thing that I don't preach on will be what comes in. When people come in here, I'm thankful. Greet them. I don't care if they're the roughest person you ever seen in your life that you've never seen in your life, that person. And they come in, they stink, and they're rough. You will welcome them in, tell them that you're glad to be here because you just never know who it is walking through that door. You never know what somebody's been through. I want this church to be different. That's why I preach the way I do. That's why I give everything I can physically and spiritually. Man, I'm trying to give everything I can to this church because we want it to be different because we are different. They claim that they're Christians. We are Christians. Christian means Christ-like. Amen. Jesus didn't drink alcohol. Jesus didn't lie. He didn't steal. Jesus wasn't a thief, a swindler. He wasn't an adulterer. He was not a sinner. That's what it means to be a Christian. Christ-like means that we're supposed to sin less. But so many people out here claim to be Christians. Some of you maybe got somebody on your mind right now that you've known. Claim to be a Christian. You see them at the bar. You see them at the liquor store. You see them at Dollar General. Man, that's one of the things that bugs me. The lady up here that managed asked me early on, not long after we got here, she said, "You need to pray for this place. There are a bunch of thieves around here." I got to talk to her one day and went in there looking. We was this is how long ago it was. We was potty training bombing. And I was trying to get some M&Ms. I went there for the big bag of M&Ms. And I said, "There's no M&Ms, no plain M&Ms." She said, "Hold on a minute, let me look." And she looked and she said, "I think it was supposed to be 9 bags that were supposed to be on the shelf for the big bags of M&Ms. There was none." And that's when she told me. She said that this Dollar General has been flagged. It's been flagged because of the amount of theft out of that Dollar General there. And I thought, how many of those people, if they got caught, would claim to be a Christian? "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." How many people sit in jail? You know, that's one of the number one, that's probably the number one, is the number one religion in our prisons. I understand there's some, unfortunately, some innocent people, but the number one thing that people claim is Christianity while being in prison. "I'm a Christian. I got caught stealing." We're supposed to be different. This Shunammite was different. It recognized Elisha that she was different. He knew who she was. She was number four. She cared for the things of God. That was her example. She put God first in her life. Number two, she had a craving for being a mother. Number three, she's commended for her faith. That was an example of her faith. Number four, she's constant for others to see. She didn't waver. Her husband saw something different. Elisha saw something different. Even when her son is dead, she says, "It is well." She's constant. She's constant for others to see. Are you that way? If troubles in your life come up, could you be like this? "Run now, I pray thee to meet her," saying to her, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" She answered, "It is well." True man of God, I put this down. True man of God knows his people and truly cares. I told you before and I'll say it again. I can only be as close to you as your pastor as you allow me. Now, it is a two-way street. I've seen other men that they just don't want to get personal. They don't want to get into friendships because they believe for some reason as a man of God you're not supposed to. I don't believe that. The reason that we've tried to have every one of you over, if there's anybody in here, make sure we invite them over. We got it all fixed up now, so everybody's got to come back to the house now again and see how nice Mr. Barnwell Tim did on the house. Listen, I want you to understand, I am in a place of authority in your life, but I still want to be as close to you and as a friend to you as I can be. We have here an example of the man of God. When this woman suffered loss, it wasn't the husband that she went to for help. It was the man of God that she went to for help. That brother I was telling you, Brother Bowles, that's coming in August, told me, he said, it was my pastor that got me through that. He said he was there for me every step of the way. I couldn't imagine losing one of my children like that. And not being bitter on God. I'm telling you, take some strong faith to lose a child in broad daylight to a drunk driver and not get bitter on God. Did you have that kind of faith? Could you be constant? That man could have quit, and a lot of people wouldn't have thought nothing out there, wouldn't have thought bad about him. They thought, man, I understand why he quit. But here he is, him and his wife, still serving God. And the other one, when I told y'all, I heard my pastor tell him, he's out of the same church that another young couple lost several kids, I don't remember, maybe three, in a house fire in Kentucky. They're at the same church. Sometimes, I don't know which one went through first, but sometimes we go through trials in our life so we can help the next person get through the trial in their life. This woman was constant for others to see. She said, it is well. And when she came to the man of God onto the hill, she called him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? I know that this woman... What's she saying? By the time that this man of God came along, she's accepted that this is what God's want. She might have probably had a desire when she was younger to have children, but at this point the desire's gone. She said, I've accepted what God's wanted me to do. But I wrote in here, the desire to serve God brings both rewards and challenges. The Bible says there in the book of 1 Timothy, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire the good thing. That desire, I believe, is a godly desire. I have no desire to be a preacher. When God began to work in my heart, I felt like what this woman felt like. I've accepted this is what God wants me to do. I just want to serve God in church. I want to do what I can for Him. And then God began to work just like Brother Tim. Brother Tim was a missionary. I don't remember how many years it was. Y'all see just missionaries before he ever even surrendered to preach. He was just serving God. If you'll serve God, if you'll serve God in the church, if you'll be faithful to what God, He says, if you'll be faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. You may not be able to be a preacher, but God can still use you. We need Sunday school teachers. We need cooks. We need somebody to lead the singing. We need somebody. Listen, there's plenty of stuff to do.
Amen.
Around the house of God.
Always.
Always. Constant for others. A desire to serve God brings both rewards and challenges. It is, man. If somebody told me 20 years ago, if somebody told me right after I got saved, November 2000, by the way, Brother Limeberry, I just want you to know, you're going to end up in Kansas one of these days, serving God in a little bitty town. I said, you're crazy. I ain't leaving this place for nothing. I love the South, man. But I love Kansas because it's where God's called. You can't handle it all at once. You just handle what God puts in front of you. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Just like with our headlights at night, we can only see as far as that light shines in our path. We can only see what God allows us to see at the time we're at. But we need to be constant in that, just as this woman. She's constant in her serving for others. Shows that. Hebrews 10:19. I put this down. Hebrews 10:19. Let me read, make sure I read it. I know what it says, but I want to make sure I read it rightly. He said, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." I don't believe this woman was being disrespectful when she said this. God tells us to come boldly into His throne. Could we can go boldly before His presence by the blood of Jesus. She came boldly to that man of God. She said, "Man, God, you're the one. I didn't want this. You're the one that told me this. I was just content just serving God and taking care of you." Listen, sometimes things, it's not necessarily a sin to go before God and say, "God, I don't understand this, but I'm coming to you in prayer. Help me to have the faith of whatever it is that I need to have to understand why I'm going through this. What's going on in my life?" Constant for others. Constant. Just as Jesus shut the door, verse number 34, he went up and laid upon the child, or verse 33, sorry, he went in and shut the door upon them twain. Just as Jesus went in and shut the world when he raised the young girl, Elisha is not seeking to make a show. He's just seeking to do God's will. He sent his servant in his place, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough till the man of God showed up. And even then, I don't know if it's because he just wasn't, because he had sent the other man, or if it's just because God trying Elisha's faith, but even Elisha didn't just raise him from the dead, did he? No, it took some time and prayer. And then he finally says, "I feel him warm." And he goes out, and what's he do? He eventually comes back in a little bit later, lays on him again, prays over him again, and finally the lad sneezes 7 times. Complete. Number 3. That's the miracle. Third miracle of this chapter. Let me go on now. All right. Last of all, her example now. She cared for the things of God. She had a craving for being a mother. She's commended for her great faith. She's constant for others to see. And last of all, finished with this, verse 37. "And when she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out." Listen, we need to continue, for the victory's coming. We need to continue, for the victory's coming. Look at Isaiah 25:8. The last thing that I want to... I've told my wife this years ago. One of my biggest fears is the day I quit on God, the next day would be the day He returns. Victory's coming. Continue, for victory's coming. Isaiah 25, verse number 8. "He shall swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off their all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it." That woman, imagine if she'd have quit. Imagine if she'd have quit. Imagine, think about this. The next time that Elisha come through, she quit on God. She said, "You know what, God, you gave it to me, you've taken it, whatever the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away." As Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Maybe she thought, I don't know. But she said, "You know what, I'm not quitting on God. I'm going to continue until I get the victory." And imagine if she had quit, and the next time Elisha come through there, Elisha goes, "Where's the little lad?
I bury you. And Elisha goes, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you come get me? I'd have prayed. I'd have sought God. I'd have asked God on your behalf. You should have continued until you got the victory. I'll tell you, that's one of my biggest fears. I fear God. I have a godly fear. I have a fear that those that I preach to, especially my children, will be lost. And one of my biggest fears is the day that I quit on God would be the next day that God would come back and I was a quitter. I want the victory. I've run 20 years, a lot of it at one point by myself. I've put in too many miles already. I've put in too many prayers in my family. I've put in too many tears praying for lost souls. I've put in too many much time reading my Bible to give up and quit and go by the side of the road now. I'm not quitting. I want the victory.
Hey.
If you want to see what else this woman goes through, you can read chapter 8 of this same book. You'll see this woman come back again. But this morning, we got this example of this Shunammite woman. She went all the way with God till she got the victory. How about it this morning? Are you going to go all the way for God and get the victory this morning? We've come too far. You've heard too much preaching. You've spent so much time here, you might as well get fully in to the things of God. Let's all stand. My Heavenly Father, God, as we celebrate Mother's Day and we look at this life of this Shunammite woman, this mother, who gave so much, God, to serving you. And Lord, in return, you gave her something, Lord, that she thought was not possible anymore. But continued, Lord, all the way through his death, to have faith that you would give her and the family the victory. And so I pray, God, that you give La Crosse Independent Baptist Church the victory here in this area for the cause of Christ. Help us now this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar's open.